Good evening. The reading is taken from, as you can see on the screen, it's Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, and Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. If you have a Bible, this can be found on pages 78 and 59. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Exodus 3, starting at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We praise you for the Spirit who inspired it. We pray that that same Spirit may be among us this evening to bring us understanding and enlightenment. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm a little bit nervous this evening because I've never spoken in this room before. At least not to so many people at once. So it's going to take a little bit of getting used to. In fact, I'm reminded And Phil Dade will remember this, and perhaps one or two others, I'm not sure, of when we started the St. Mary's Church plant down in the Priory School gym more than a couple of decades ago, and how we used to gather like this and in a sort of semicircle. And I used to speak there just standing at the front with the Bible in my hand. We didn't have a lectern. So it's taking me back just a little bit this evening, but I am a bit nervous and I'm thinking about the Pope. Now the Pope, it was rumoured, said sometime in July that he had been told by God, instructed by God, to revise the Ten Commandments. It was all over the social media, apparently, and it was completely untrue. He hadn't said anything of the kind. But of course there are people who have tried to revise the Ten Commandments. In my teaching days, I used to get the youngsters that I was teaching about the Ten Commandments to have a go at writing their own. And they would usually come up with something like, thou shalt not bully, thou shalt not set too much homework, thou shalt care for planet Earth. That's one missing, isn't it, from the Ten Commandments? And they were very good. And they used to complain to me that the commandments were too negative. They were all about what you shouldn't do. What about some about what you could do? It's a bit like saying, instead of having a notice saying, do not walk on the grass, you have a notice saying, please walk on the path. Just changing from negative to positive. There was a man called Thomas Watson who was a Puritan minister. I think he was probably a Congregationalist. Don't really hear about them anymore. But anyway, he was a Puritan. He lived in the early 17th century, or middle of the 17th century. And he wrote a book about the Ten Commandments, and when he got to this one, number 3, about misusing or not misusing the name of the Lord, he said, well, there are two ways you can look at this. You could see it as a negative command, you shall not misuse the Lord's name, or you could see it as something implied as positive. You shall reverence and respect the Lord's name. My guess is that when Jesus was thinking about the Ten Commandments, and he must often have thought about them, and about this one, number 3, he was thinking about the positive side. And so he said, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, which is the positive side of the third commandment. Don't misuse the Lord's name. So what I'm going to do is go through the negatives and then turn to the positives, at least try to. So we'll start with the negatives, that is with the command as it stands, that we're not to misuse God's name. Now of course one of the problems is that commands are not very popular. People say, why should we have to obey someone else's command? And sometimes, of course, people say, how do we obey a command? There is a Jewish story. It's a good thing that it's a Jewish story, about a brother and a sister called Bernie and Esther. And they're not particularly religious Jews. And in fact, they hardly ever go to synagogue. But they do turn up one day, and the rabbi says to them that it was very nice to see them, and he wished he saw them more often. Bernie says to them, well, yes, we could be here more often, but at least we keep the commandments. And so the rabbi said, well, I'm very glad to hear that you keep the commandments. And Bernie then said, yes, Esther keeps 6 of them, and I keep the other 4. Not too easy to keep commandments. And we've got a problem with this one because "do not misuse the name of the Lord" isn't immediately clear what it means. Does it mean, for example, no swearing? That's the way some people have looked at it. No blasphemy, no profanity. Well, that seems to me to be an obvious meaning. That is, that if you are a Christian, you don't swear. You don't use letters like OMG, or take the name of Jesus Christ and use it in a careless sort of way. There are some hidden swear words. I used to do a lesson with the kids at school on swear words, and they always look forward to it. But there are some hidden ones. So, for example, you don't hear this much these days, but blimey. Is God blind me? Or crikey is simply another way of saying Christ. So we need to be a little bit careful. We can get a bit too pernickety. But generally speaking, blaspheming, profanity, swear words to be avoided. And Paul, in one of his letters, underlines this. So this is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 in the Message version. "Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift." It's rather nicely put, isn't it? And it's so important because words are so powerful. And once they come out, they can't be taken back. James, in his letter in the New Testament, has something similar. This is chapter 3, and again from the Message version. This is scary. "You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth." So there we go. There's a start. And maybe we need to hear that. But I believe there is more to this commandment than simply watch your language. What does the commandment actually say? It says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Now, this word "name" has some significance. Of course, we know that some names have a meaning. Michael, for example, has a meaning. Can't remember what it is, but it's something I think rather nice about being beloved by God. You may well have a name with a meaning that you know. But the important thing in the Bible is that God's name has great significance. His name is, as we know from one of the songs that we sometimes sing, Yahweh. And that is sometimes transliterated as Jehovah. And the thing about God's name is that it speaks of his character, his nature, his godness, if you like. So that when we talk about the name of God, we're talking about God. And so therefore when we misuse the name of God, we're basically insulting God. That's the way the Bible looks at it. Let me read you just a little verse from Psalm 9. "Those who know your name trust in you." Now there you get the point, you see. To know God's name is to know God. If you know God and what he is like, you will most certainly trust him because he is utterly trustworthy and faithful. Let's go back to Thomas Watson, the Puritan. He actually lists 12 ways in which we may misuse God's name. They took the faith pretty seriously in those days. I think probably we would find this pretty hard going. But he mentions bad language. He says that we need to avoid bad language. And he also mentions making rash or false oaths. In other words, making a promise that you don't intend to keep, or making a promise that you forget all about, especially if you do it in God's name, which we probably tend not to these days. But I think it could apply to all promises. And then there's another way that he says we can misuse God's name, and that is by trivializing God. I was thinking about, well, what does that mean? Well, supposing someone comes up to you in the church and says, "The Lord told me," and then says what it is the Lord told them. Now, I believe we need to be very, very careful when we use language like that. Because it may be that "the Lord told me" equals "I've had a bright idea." It may come from the Lord, but it may not. And we need just to be careful about trivializing the Lord and implying that whatever bright idea comes into our heads must have come from him. Jesus, I wish Jesus hadn't said this, but Jesus has a saying in Matthew's Gospel, which I've lost. But anyway, it's basically saying that every word we speak, we're going to have to give account of. It's in Matthew chapter 12. Need to be careful with our language. So, don't misuse the Lord's name. That's the negative side. But let's go to the positive. And this notion that the positive side of the third commandment is that first plea in the Lord's Prayer: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." May your name be hallowed. Of course, hallowed is a tricky word. We tend not to use it much these days. And children who are learning the Lord's Prayer very often get a bit confused about the word hallowed. So I heard of one child who said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Which makes sense. It could be Howard. But the one I really like goes like this: "Our Father who art in heaven, how'd you know my name?" Lots to say about that. Okay, so what does it mean to hallow God's name? Well, it means to revere his name, or in more common language, to respect it, to respect God's name and honour his name. Now, respect is a core value. I have to go into school assemblies, and these days, if you go into a school assembly, they normally want you to speak on the school's core values. I went into a local infant school the other day, and the core value was responsibility. So here were these fives and sixes sitting on the floor, and I was trying to think, what on earth do I say to them about being responsible? How is a 5 or 6 year old responsible? What does it look like? Quite an interesting one to work on. Respect is a core value that often turns up. So how do we show respect for God's name, and why? Well, why do we? I've already said, because God's name is God. It is another way of speaking of God himself. So the psalmist says, "Glorify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together." Both mean the same thing. We glorify the Lord and we glorify him by glorifying his name. His name is sacred. Now, we as Christians can go a little bit further than the ancient Jews went, because we now know that God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus' name is also sacred. And that's why in his letter to the Philippians, Paul can say this: therefore God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. No wonder it's a sacred name. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess at the name of Jesus, who is God himself. There's a very unusual verse in one of the Psalms which goes like this: some boast of chariots and some of horses, but we boast of the name of the Lord our God. Do we? Do we boast of the name of Jesus? I'm very struck by the fact that Muslims are so protective of the name of Muhammad. Say something nasty about Muhammad and, well, the heavens open. And yet people can say anything like about Jesus. We're not that boastful of Jesus. There was a wonderful man who lived in the 18th century called John Newton. He had been a ship's captain and a slave driver. Well, not a slave driver, a slave owner and slave trader. And he wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, but he wrote another hymn which begins like this: how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. See, if the name of Jesus, if the name of the Lord sounds sweet to you, you're never going to misuse it. Never. You'll never want to take his name in vain, because it means so much. Jesus, to us believers, means salvation. When I knew I was going to have to speak on the third commandment, I was a bit unhappy about it, to be absolutely honest. My dad used to say that preachers tell you how to behave, and he wasn't too pleased about that. I became a teacher and had to tell youngsters sometimes how to behave, and had to tell them off if they didn't behave themselves. Don't do that, George. Some of you will know that one. And I didn't want this sermon simply to be a great telling off or a reminder of the rules that we have to obey. There's another reason why I was a bit unhappy about this, and that is I don't understand the Ten Commandments. But what I don't understand is, are they all equally important and significant? If you take the Lord's name in vain, if you misuse the Lord's name, is that as bad as murdering someone? Well, when on the face of it, yes. And in fact, our commandment is remarkable for having a sort of punishment attached. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Oh, wow. And then here's another thought. Why does this command have such a severe punishment or penalty? Why does the Lord take it so seriously? The Message version of chapter 20 and verse 7 ends, "No using the name of God, your God, in curses or silly banter. God won't put up with the irreverent use of his name." It's very serious, isn't it? And the title of the sermon was to be Taking God Seriously, and we take God seriously when we take his word seriously. I want to come back to that John Newton hymn because it's one of my favourites. And I'm going to read it to you, and I'd like us to be very quiet and prayerful as I read it. And let's just think together about what the name of the Lord really means to us. Is it a sweet name? Is it a sacred name? Is it a precious name? Is the name of Jesus, the Son of God, precious to us because of who he is for us? Because if it is precious, and if it does sound sweet to us, then we will want, as it were, to protect it as much as we possibly can. Let me read the hymn. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and takes away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul, and to the weary, rest. Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield and hiding place, my never-failing treasury, filled with boundless stores of grace. Jesus, my shepherd, husband, friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. Weak is the effort of my heart, and worn and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Till then, I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the music of thy name refresh my soul in death. Lord Jesus, we praise your name because it's who you are. We praise and thank you that you are the Saviour, our Saviour, through your death on the cross. We praise you that today you're alive and you're here with us, and we meet in your name, in your very presence. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for freedom through your name. We praise you that although the commandment says that the Lord will not hold him guiltless who misuses his name, yet we know that our guilt has been removed, and that even though in the past we may have blasphemed and profaned your name, yet there is forgiveness through the blood shed at Calvary. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord, that through that name we have acquittal. We have peace with God. We have a place in your family. So may your blessing rest upon us as we meditate on the name of Jesus. And may that name become more and more sweet to us, more and more precious to us as the days go by. In the name of Jesus. Amen.